You know, this is also a really cool day because this is the first day of a brand new series, Even If. I want you to turn to somebody and say, Even If. Yeah. You know, as we go into this time in November, a time where we're supposed to be thankful, you know, we have these pumpkins. We went out to a pumpkin patch the other day. They're trying to get rid of their pumpkins. And so instead of us walking away with one, we walked away with two pumpkins apiece. We have 12 pumpkins on our porch, y'all. Not even joking. That is way crazy. We celebrate with writing thanks all over our walls, all over everything that we have. We want to live a life of gratitude, but what do you do when you look around in your life and you don't have everything that you hope for? But what do you do whenever you look around and you want to be thankful, but it feels like you're not, you can't be thankful yet because there's something that you're waiting on in order to offer thanks? You know, how we celebrate Thanksgiving shouldn't change the fact that God is still present and working in our lives. And that's what this series is all about. It's choosing to trust God even if we don't have everything that we wanted or even everything that we feel like we need. And that's so important. This month, we're learning to give thanks, not because life is perfect, but because we worship and we serve a good God, because he's still present, because he's still good, because he's still working, even if. Somebody say amen to that. See, there's lots of stuff in my life that I planned for, and what I planned didn't actually turn out the way that I had hoped it would. Anybody ever, you know, plan something and it didn't quite turn out the way you wanted it to? Kind of like when I tried to propose to my wife. We're married, okay? So it did work out in the end, But I, you know, it was time for me to propose. I knew it was time for me to propose. She kind of had this idea that I was going to propose. But regardless, I it was close to Christmas time. I went and I asked her out on a date. She came with me, and I went to pick her up. And the thing is that all week the weather had been so nice, and I had planned a wonderful evening. We were supposed to go out to an Italian restaurant that she really liked, and we were going to go after that to ride the horse carriages downtown into the Myriad Garden. We're going to walk through the beautiful light displays that they had there, and then we had a special spot there, and that was special to us. I was going to drop down to a knee. I was going to propose to her. You know, she's going to say yes, and then we're going to, you know, walk around for a little while and then, you know, head back home and tell everybody that that she finally gave in to my requests. And, you know, the truth is that when I went to pick her up, it started kind of raining, kind of sleeting a little bit, and it was getting worse and worse, and it was getting darker, so the temperatures were dropping. And as we were on our way downtown to the Italian restaurant, half of the block's electricity went out, the ice, right? And so we show up at the door wondering, well, maybe they're just gonna, you know, it's just a temporary thing. They know about it. They'll let us come in. And they were turning away all their guests, even guests that had food. They said, I'm sorry, you can't be here right now. We've got to do something. It was just all going chaotic downtown. And so we walked away, and right across the street, there was a Mexican restaurant. And it was the only thing that had lights still on. Everything was working. And so we, instead of going Italian, we went Mexican. Which, hey, listen, nobody's upset about Mexican food, but it wasn't quite the same atmosphere. You know, no, nothing says I love you like the fluorescent lights and chips and salsa, okay? So we went to, hey, she loves Mexican food. And so we went there, and then afterwards they had put the horses up. So no horses, no carriage. And so we jumped in the car. We went over to the Myriad Garden, no big deal. And now it's starting to like drizzle ice. I didn't even know it was a thing, but it was like, you know, as you walked, it would kind of sting as it kind of pelted you in the face. But I was bound and destined, couldn't change plan. I don't know what I was thinking. I said, hey, listen, we got to go look at the light. She's like, really? Okay. And we got out and we kind of, you know, oh yeah, look at the lights, yeah, hurry, you know. And we finally got to the spot, We were out of the rain just enough for me to drop down on one knee. I proposed, and then she said yes, and she says, okay, we got to go now. We ran back to the car. Listen, I've got to tell you something. It didn't go the way I had planned. It didn't even go plan B. I didn't even think I had a plan C that bad. But it ended up okay, because I got the girl, right? And she said yes, and she's kind of questioned that decision ever since, right? No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I hope I'm not joking. Anyway, the thing about it is, though, is that sometimes that's how life goes with us. We make all these plans. We make all the arrangements. Everything is supposed to go just right. But unfortunately, sometimes when it happens in life, it doesn't get to be a funny story later. So sometimes when it happens in life, we don't get to laugh about it. Sometimes when it happens in life, the Mexican restaurant is not open either. And the car didn't start because it got so cold. And we got wet out there, and all the stuff happens, and the girl didn't even say yes. Sometimes it feels like that in life, especially when you've prayed and you've sought God and you've done everything that you know how to do in order to be in His will for your life, and you still don't get healed. And the financial situation doesn't work itself out, and it's not just a bad night, it's more like a bad life season. And you struggle and you keep on pushing, but the only thing that you're left with is asking the question, why? Why, when I'm doing everything that I know to do in order to be right with God, in order to make right decisions, in order to love other people, why are these things happening to me? And ultimately, we get left with this idea, this sense, is God even still here with me? Do I still even feel His presence? And perhaps you don't. But in this moment, we still know that we're supposed to be, for some reason, thankful in this situation. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. That we can trust God even if we're in those circumstances. Even when we're in those circumstances. And nobody talks about it better than a prophet in the Bible called Habakkuk. We're going to go to Habakkuk in chapter 3 in just a moment. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn to that in your Bibles or in your Bible app. And you can also follow along in the notes in your Bible app if you'd like to as well. But Habakkuk is a small book, just 3 chapters in the Old Testament. But it has one of the most honest conversations about not having what you hope for. It's one of the honest conversations between God and a person that you could really ever read. Habakkuk was one of the prophets that in the Old Testament, normally a prophet would hear from the Lord and then take that message that the Lord spoke and bring it to the people, present it to the people. But in this book, Habakkuk is looking around and seeing the circumstances and situations of the entire nation, and he goes to the Lord and begins to talk to the Lord about it. And he's frustrated. He's confused because he sees a world that is falling apart all around him. He sees violence, he sees injustice, he sees corruption that's going on, and it doesn't seem like God is going to do anything about what's going on in the nation. It feels like God's presence has just left them. It feels like God's blessing is no longer on His people. And if we're going to be honest, it was one of the darkest moments in the nation of Israel, because they knew that there was an impending invasion from the Babylonians. And Habakkuk, instead of just kind of shrugging his shoulders, instead of trying to go around and encourage each other, he goes to God and he begins to ask God the hard questions. God, why aren't you fixing this? Why do the wicked people seem to be getting away with so much and nothing happens? How long do we have to cry out to you, oh God, before you listen and do something? Sound familiar right now? Anybody? Anybody? If you've ever been crying out, if you've ever felt overwhelmed in your situation, if you've ever looked on the news and you kind of wondered some of those questions, then we might see and feel some answers from Habakkuk's conversation. But here's the beautiful thing about this conversation he had with God. The way that God responded wasn't to rebuke him. It wasn't to make him feel bad or to question his faith. Instead, the way that God responded was something deeper. He called Habakkuk to trust him, even whenever the explanation wasn't simple, even whenever he didn't feel like there was anything resolved. This book begins with complaints, but it ends with gratitude. It begins with complaints and ends with gratitude. And it just doesn't make sense by human standard. It doesn't make sense by the world's understanding of what Thanksgiving is all about. But it makes perfect sense to a heart that's learned how to trust God. And I want us to trust God together as we go to Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Listen to what Habakkuk sees all around him. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Wow, what a response. See, this is not the kind of casual gratitude that is, you know, even though all this has happened, I'm still going to put that pumpkin that says thanks, you know, on my porch. This is not just because everything is going great in his life. This is a defiant gratitude that says, no matter what I'm looking at, no matter whether there's blessing or there's need, no matter whether there's fullness or there's emptiness, no matter whether there feels happiness or sadness, no matter whether there is joy or there is a sense of depression and darkness, I'm going to respond with gratitude. I'm going to respond with thanks. Not the kind of praise because God has somehow overcome those obstacles, but the kind that says even when there is something broken, when there's something barren, when there's hard things, I will choose to rejoice. And that's what I want to tell you today. Even if it's barren, we still feel his presence. Somebody say amen. See, I want to do something for you really quickly. It's an illustration, but I have to go get it. Can I go get it really quickly? Hold on. I left it right over here. I think there's something here I cannot see. Okay, here it is. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is what I hope life looks like sometimes here is this, right? It's just a tree. And this tree is beautiful, especially the fact that it's been kind of freezing in the morning sometimes. I mean, all close to freezing. It's been outside. And it still is green, and it's still lush, and it's still nice. It still looks good. Because there's something about this tree that's amazing is that despite everything that's been going on, it's prospered, right? I don't know what kind of tree it is. We found it in the middle of a field somewhere, to be honest with you. And I hope that it stays alive. I don't know. We'll see. But I hope that our life looks like this. You know, that we water it and we care for it, we pot it, and, you know, it has leaves on it and everything is going well for it. But how many of you know that there's sometimes in our life we want it to look like this? We have it so that we've done everything to care for it, but then we don't exactly get this for our lives. Because there's, hold on one second, let me show you something. It's this right over here. Sometimes I feel like my plans were for this, but my plans end up getting me this right here. Don't worry, Charlie Brown's going to get it back. It's something like this that we end up getting. We plan for this, we pray for this, we hope for this, we care for it. Like this is the picture we're going for. But for some reason in our lives, sometimes we get this thing. What is it? What went wrong? It's like, I love you, Lord. I've done everything for you. I've given you. I've tithed. I've prayed. I've loved other people, and it just feels bare. I did not pick any leaves off of this. This is actually the plant right here. This is the saddest little tree I've ever seen. He's trying. I feel bad because he's trying hard. But it's, life is not working out for this guy. And I'm not sure why. Like the soil is, it's damp. I feel like it's okay. Maybe it will, maybe he'll come back to life next season. I don't know. Maybe this is just a dry season. But I feel like when we look at things, this is the picture that we wanted, and this is what we get. And it's not fair. It doesn't make any sense. It just is what it is. And even today, there's people all throughout our nation, even here in Oklahoma, that they're barely getting by, and maybe they're on government assistance, and all of a sudden, you've all heard by now that with the government shutdown, the SNAP programs are not paying out anymore, so there's people that could be going without food, and there's homes that are scared about what tomorrow brings, and we look around, and there's wars, and there's rumors of wars, and that's just on the outside, right? We don't have to look that far out to look at our situation, our circumstance, and think to ourselves, wow, you know, I've been praying for a healing for a long time. I want to look like this, but my doctor report kind of tells me I'm looking like this. I've been investing for a long time, but my portfolio looks like this. Right? I've been serving and giving and doing, but I feel like this on the inside, even though I might look like this on the outside, it's really like this. And we're in the middle of this circumstance where there's this tension between what we've expected, what we've planned for, what we've done to try to get, and what we actually have, and it hurts us on the inside. And truth is that we could all be living in this tension in some way in our lives. And we could be asking the question, God, where are you in all of this? And that's exactly what Habakkuk is describing. He doesn't say, if things get tough, he says, even though the fig tree doesn't blossom, even though the olives aren't being able to be harvested, all of these things, I'm still going to praise you. And we're going to get that to a second. We're going to get there. But first, we need to understand what it means to see God's presence in the barrenness. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Remember, he says, even though the fig tree has no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crops fail, and even though the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. This is one of the most poetic yet most sad and realistic depictions of what it looks like to look like this in reality. Fig trees, grapevines, olive crops were all staples of the Israeli economy. And by not having any of that available because of that season, it was financial ruin. Not only were they not going to be able to trade because that was what they produced, but they weren't going to have any income to buy anything that they needed, and they weren't going to be able to feed their families. Not having those things didn't mean that they were just going to have to tighten up a little bit. It meant they might starve to death. Then empty fields meant there was nothing to harvest. Flocks dying meant there was not going to be any wool or any milk, no meat for the table. It was survival mode, an existential crisis that they were going through. Empty barns meant, that was an ancient way of saying that the bank account was zero. The savings account was zero. All of the investments have been capitalized. We are done. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. We're doomed. This is not just a poetic exaggeration. This was the reality of what they were experiencing in that moment. Economic collapse. Even though they were in this situation, something was coming. Something was bubbling in Habakkuk. And it may have been, that may be a way to represent something that's going on in our life now. Even though the job didn't come, and even though the investment didn't make out, even though that the medical situation is going on, even though, and you could be looking around and seeing all of those moments right now. Habakkuk is showing us something that's very powerful here. I want everybody to understand this. It's okay to acknowledge what's not working. It's all right. It doesn't show lack of faith to go out and see reality and call reality what it is. As a matter of fact, if you try to fake a positive reality whenever it's not good, can I tell you that that's lying to yourself and others? It's okay to tell us what reality looks like. Whenever I ask you, how are things going? And you say, I'm fine. And like, you're like, not fine. It's okay to say, I'm not that great, Pastor John. Can I be honest with you? And this is parenthetical to my notes. Whenever we identify that there's stuff in our lives that aren't working out, but we still have joy in the Lord, it gives us an opportunity to come back and praise him and see where we've been to where he's taking us to. Don't deprive yourself of a testimony by ensuring to everybody else and yourself that everything's fine when it's not. Because God wants to work in you and through you so that he can show your life to everybody around you that whatever you're going through, God can take and he can turn it into something that truly is worth being joyful about. Then he follows it by saying, yet I will rejoice. We're going to get there. But when Habakkuk wrote these words, he wasn't just imagining theoretically. He was actually experiencing the worst case scenario, a national crisis. There would be destruction. Babylonians would come in. They would go into slavery. They would lose everything. Everything would be really, really tough. But here's why it matters. In the Old Testament, I want to share with you this. God's blessing was often connected to the land. That meant that if the Israelite mindset was, if we did everything that God told us to, if we just obeyed all of his promises, if we did everything, then everything was going to be fine. We're going to have a blessed land. And if we didn't do that, then we're going to have a cursed land. But what would happen to them if they said, if we do everything, we're going to have a blessed land, and the land wasn't blessed? And that was what was going on. They felt like God had left them completely, that God had abandoned them in some way. But here's the breakthrough. Habakkuk in this moment has this incredible shift that had never been experienced before. Instead of tying God's presence with the blessing on the land, he says, it doesn't matter what I see as far as blessing, God is still present, and that's worth celebrating. That's the shift that is massive, because some of us still to this day look at our own lives and we equate full barns with God's blessing. We equate everything good with God being present. And so when he's not present, he calls us into question, why isn't it working out? I thought we had a deal, God. And so what do you do whenever life feels barren then? What do you do whenever it feels empty inside? When the covers are bare, when the count is dry, whenever you feel like you're praying and your prayers are just bouncing off the roof, where do you go? Where do you turn? Because God is not only present when things are full, he is especially present when things feel empty. And there's some people that need to understand that, because when you don't have what you expected, when you don't have what you had worked out for, you're in good company, because you're along with Habakkuk and you're along with so many other people. When Elijah stood in the brook where Mary and Martha stood at the tomb of Lazarus, none of them had what they prayed, what they hoped for. But Jesus literally was standing there present in that moment, ready to do a miracle. God was present there with Elijah, ready to do a miracle that nobody had seen or heard. And Jesus, what about him? When he was in the wilderness, fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and nothing felt good. But yet, he still stood on the promises of God. Satan first came to him and began to tempt him. If you're God, if you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responded clearly, biblically, quoting to him, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God, demonstrating to you and I that God's presence and his blessings aren't necessarily bound up in what we feel like our needs are. It's literally God's presence that is so special for us. That's so incredible. It's part of our testimony too. In this season, when we look around, we see things in our lives that things aren't what we hope for. God is still able to be present in our lives. Like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And never means never. And there's somebody that needs to hear that. Because today, you might change the kind of way that you're praying. And you might just say, instead of God, I need this, give me this in my life. You might just change it to say, I might be in this situation or circumstance, but God, remind me that you're still with me. And we need to be reminded to that. But even if it's broken, you can still worship. There's this kind of worship in our lives that doesn't come whenever everything is good, but comes when things are broken. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel like what we would normally do. But it comes from a place of genuineness and authenticity and trust and faithfulness in God, because we're coming from a point where it says, God, I can't see it, but I know that you're still there. And in the kingdom, it's upside down. In the kingdom, it's not about worshiping because of what you see. It's worshiping because who God is. Worship because of who God is. And Habakkuk draws this powerful line in the sand in verse 18 when he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That word yet is so powerful. Because it wasn't a cheerful moment, but he draws that line in the sand that says, yet. It doesn't matter what I see. I'm still going to rejoice. It's not fake. It's faith. This word rejoice in the Hebrew carries this idea that we're shouting in triumph because of what Jesus has already done for us. He's the one that's fighting the battle. He's the one that's providing. He's the one that is our Savior. And it's the same kind of rejoicing that David did when we see it in Psalm chapter 42, verse 11, when he says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then there's this shift. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. It's the same kind of joy that Paul and Silas had whenever they were in prison and they began to sing out praises and hymns and pray. And then that's when the walls began to shake. In the midst of that difficulty, that situation, they still allowed their hearts to be filled with joy. Well, see, to really understand how radical this shift was, we have to go back into the Old Testament and understand that they still operated under the temple system. And in the temple system of worship, you would worship God according to the blessing in your life. And so whenever you sacrificed, whenever you gave, whenever you celebrated, it was celebrating out of your abundance. But there's this shift here that looks ahead into the New Testament and looks ahead at Christ that says it's not about the situation. My worship doesn't come out of my blessing. My worship comes out of my trust in the character and the nature of who God is. Habakkuk 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. This isn't This is a statement that turns into a prophecy about how we're going to respond in these moments like this. And it's something that we see in John chapter 4, verse 21 and 23, whenever John is sitting there, right there with the woman at the well, whenever he's having this conversation, this debate, and she's asking him about, okay, you're the Messiah, tell me this. Where's the right place to worship? And Jesus says, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Verse 23, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. Can I tell you something? That there's a true worship that we are called to as Christians. And it's not on Jerusalem or another mountain. It's what place in your life are you choosing to worship? Are you worshiping on the mountain of your blessing? Are you choosing to worship whenever God does the miracle? Or are you determined that you're going to worship wherever you are, however you are, whatever you look like, whatever state you are in? Because God still deserves the worship in our lives. See, worship isn't a transaction. It's a declaration. You don't believe me? Okay. You know, whenever I talk to married couples that come in, and oftentimes one of the situations, circumstances that they are dealing with is that I love her, they say, or I love him, but they're just not meeting my needs. They used to do this. They used to say this. They used to take care of me in this way. Now they're not doing it. And so it's hard for me to love them. And right there, you identify the transaction. When you do this, then I will give you my love. I'll pay you with my love. But if you don't do this, I can't do it anymore. Young people, mom and dad, grandparents, I'm so thankful that God doesn't love us in a transactional way, because there's not one thing that you and I could do to ever earn or deserve the love that God has given to us. But can I tell you something? That when God has put his love down deep in your hearts, that he fills you in those empty places so that you don't have to receive something in order to offer love and gratitude back to him. That you don't have to have somebody meeting your needs in order for you to feel like his presence is all you actually ever needed. It's not a place of disingenuousness or lying or trying to paint a rosy picture over a bad one. It's a place of really and truly seeking God, choosing to worship him for who he is rather than what he has done. Because worship is not just what you do when life is good. Worship is how we survive when life is not good. Worship is not rooted in the blessings that we receive. Worship is rooted in the character and the nature of who God is. In Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus sitting down with his disciples, and he foreknew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to die. But he also knew that he was going to live. Amen. And as he sat down with the disciples, he broke bread with them, and he held a cup, and he still chose to worship, knowing the difficulty ahead. And God has called us to do the same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us, be thankful in all, somebody say all, circumstances, for this is the will of God for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so many times we wonder what God's will is for our life. We look around, we see everything that's going on. What, God, what is your will? Can I tell you what his will is for you? Whatever you're going through, part of it is for you to be thankful for him, to him. That's his will for our lives. That word all there literally means all. I love that word. Because there's no exclusion, there's no dependency. We, as people of God, should always be thankful in everything. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, throw your hands up and worship. Throw your hands up and praise him because he's done it in your life. Even if it's hard, God is still working. Sometimes we don't feel like we need another Bible verse or another sermon. Sometimes we just need a break and a Kit Kat bar. That's the way it feels sometimes. Sometimes we feel like the situation is so bad, and then you take a nap and you wake up and you look around and the situation is not quite as bad as you thought it was. Don't believe me? Try to skip a nap this Sunday afternoon. See how it feels. Don't do that. See, God may not change your path, but he can change how you walk it. He can change how you walk it. And watch this. In verse 19, Habakkuk says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." This idea that we can be sure-footed as a deer refers to this deer that they would see all over the mountains out there that would be walking up really high cliffs and just like there wasn't even a problem. No issues of balance. They don't fall over. They just, everywhere they go, it's like they're never going to stumble, no matter how rocky it looks. And that's the picture that Habakkuk is worshiping from is, Lord, I know that you're not going to change the situation, but you can change the way that I walk it. And why does he know that? Because he knows that he worships a sovereign Lord. What does that mean? Pastor Brooks talked to us about that this past Wednesday night whenever he said, sovereign is something that is so special that the older you get, the more mature in Christ that you become, you realize that we should celebrate God's sovereignty, because what sovereign means is that no matter what has happened, we can rest assured that God is still over it, that God still has the final word, that his authority still stands in our life. It's his sovereignty that matters to us. For Habakkuk and his original audience, they saw the rocky environment in which they were walking into. And they said, God, help us to be as sure-footed as a deer. Help us, Lord, to walk confidently into the future, not because of what we can see, but because we know who is standing there with us already. So if you're waiting for life to get smooth before you are thankful, you may never get that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, be thankful now. Be thankful now. Paul writes, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Our goal is not necessarily to get healed or get to financial independence. Our goal is not to find the love of our life and all these other wonderful things. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but if those things never happen, it doesn't mean that God is not still God and that he's not worthy of being praised. What it means is that our goals need to be realigned to be eternal goals. That when Jesus comes back, and ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that he is coming and he is coming soon, that we are ready for him. That our eyes are not on what's going on here. It should be what's going on there. And we should be waiting in hope that whenever he comes, that we are ready as a family of God and that we take as many people in our community with us. What's going on here? All of this? This ain't it. You know that? You've been taught that. This ain't it. Our reward isn't here. Our reward is there. So what were you hoping for that didn't happen in your life? What are you reserving your worship for? when you could today choose without seeing that reward, stand up and still raise your hands and raise your head and begin to worship from a place of real gratitude, knowing that God is with you, not because things are easy or because everything is fine, but because you know that God, His presence makes all the difference. Would you stand with me everywhere you are today? You might be here, you might actually feel disappointed in your life, looking around because things haven't been what you expected. But even if you have the opportunity, even if it's not like that, you can still rejoice. So today, you might be here and say, today, this is my even if moment. Today, my worry, my anxiety, my fear of the future, my issues of not feeling confidence in God's presence or hearing my prayers, it's going to end today. Because I know that I know that I know that His word is true. And when He says that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And even if I look around and I see all these things happening in my life that should, by the world's standards, cause me to question, yet I will still praise the God of my salvation. I want to pray over you right now. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You that even if all things are going on, we can still stand from a place of confidence. We can still worship You. We can still allow gratitude and joy to flood our home and our hearts. Lord, I pray, God, for those that are in this place right now, this message is touching them, not because of my eloquence, Lord, but because of Your Holy Spirit that's empowering Your word, oh Lord, that's bringing it around the barriers and the walls set up by the enemy around our hearts and somehow circumnavigating them, Lord, to speak directly to who we are, to our situation. And Lord, I pray, God, that Your word, Lord, would find a soft place in their heart where it would be planted, Lord, and a tree of prosperity and thankfulness and gratitude would begin to grow. Lord, not necessarily in the answer of our prayers, Lord, not necessarily in abundance, not necessarily in the blessings that we want. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, Lord, but Lord, that tree would grow and produce fruit in our hearts, Lord, so that we would be ready for You to come. And Lord, until then, Lord, we would worship and we would be filled with joy and we would just change the place that we would look for all of it. Lord, that our joy is found in You, that our love is found in You. Lord, that our blessing is found in Your presence. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I look around and despite my situation, I'm going to commit to worshiping God out of a place of His presence. If that's you today, you want to commit that with me. Would you just raise your hand all over this place? I'm going to commit that. My family's going to commit that. I'm going to worship God, not necessarily out of the abundance of blessing, but out of knowing that He is there with me. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You for it. Thank You, Lord. You know, if you're here today, you can look up for me for one second. If you're here today, I just want to say this to you. Praying for something that you need is not wrong. We all have needs. Praying for healing. God tells us in His word, James chapter 5, go to the elders of the church, have them anoint your head with oil and pray that you will recover, because the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Didymus has much power. God tells us to pray for our needs. God tells us that He owns a cattle on a thousand hill, that He is our provider. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. There's nothing wrong with that theology. So I invite you to come and to pray for your needs. And we'll have prayer partners that'll meet you up here and join with you, partner with you in prayer, because we really do believe that here in this place. But there's moments in our life where it's not now, where we're just waiting for the prayer to be answered. And this is a hard season. And I don't expect you just to walk away and say, I guess I can't pray for it because he's here. But I do want you to walk away confidently, knowing that whether it comes today, tomorrow, or eternity, that our hearts can be filled with gratitude for him. Amen. So I want to invite you all over to this place. If you have a need in your life, you want to be prayed with as we worship for just a moment longer. Let's just wait just a moment longer as we worship. You please feel free to come down. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for your needs. And we're going to continue to worship just for a moment longer. God bless you. Let's just worship, Pastor Henry. I believe that God is doing something down at this place. And I believe that God could be doing something in your hearts and in your lives, wherever you're seated, wherever you're standing, and whatever need that you have, God is a provider. You can still trust him. But today, my challenge is this: continue to trust him. Continue to love him. Continue to walk with him, because he's walking with you. Continue to allow God's presence to be the thing that fuels your gratitude, and not just the situation or circumstance around you. Because this is not it. It's all about him. It's all about what he's doing in your heart and your life. And you might not be in a place, in a situation where he's done, but the story is not over. You haven't come to the end yet. And he's got blessing on the other side if you still trust him, if you still walk with him, if you still believe in him. Amen. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over your life right now. We're going to continue to allow people to pray and to find God in this place. But I want to challenge you this. You know, at Christ's Legacy, I want us not just to be a Sunday morning type of person. I want us to be a person that even when it's barren, even when we struggle, even when we're dealing with tragedy, or when we're dealing with so much abundance, we're still going to be a people that have thanksgiving and worship in our hearts. So I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you. Let's be a place that when we find God in the middle of the mess sometimes. Somebody say amen to that. We give hope. When we find people in hopeless situations and bring encouragement and resources and love and care, and we do life together no matter what. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you, God, for what you're doing in our lives and what you're continuing to do even when we walk out of these doors. I pray, God, our hearts will be flooded with your gratitude, Lord, not because of our situation or circumstance, but because we are worshiping you, because we love you, and we know, God, that you're present with us. And I pray, God, that we would now go and take your presence with us everywhere we go, Lord, so that people everywhere we meet, Lord, would feel the hope and the love that we have with you, and it would make an eternal difference, impact in our community. We love you and we praise you. Empower us to be your witnesses in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you today.